There was a lot of questions in the question box. There's a good reason why in the 25 years I've been teaching that I haven't taught first 11 chapters of Genesis. I think it's hard. So, and it seems like every week it just stirs up more questions. We just have the Holy Spirit and the Lord to guide us. So let's ask Him to help us. Father, as we look at this most important chapter of Scripture that really demonstrates where we're at and why we are the sinners we are, we really need to grasp hold of the truth here. Thank you, Lord, that you haven't left us floundering around, but that you give us enough truth that we can understand who you are and move on in faith. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't treat Adam and Eve like I would have, but you very gently worked with them, just like you want to work with us. What a gracious, gracious God you are. Now teach us, Lord. We're still and waiting to hear your voice, and we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. It'd be really nice if you could turn off your cell phone. We have lost our cell phone sign. And someone swiped it, I think. Yeah, it's really easy to forget. And I have enough distractions. I don't need anything extra. Hello. Okay, life is full of choices. And I need to remind you that next week we don't meet. It takes a whole week for Lizzie to cook Thanksgiving dinner. So we don't meet next week, and usually people are traveling, and it's just best not to have class. Anyway, life is full of choices, and how can we find meaning for those choices we make? We choose what we eat, what we wear, who we talk to, what we do, where we go. We also choose to either lie or tell the truth, to be cruel or kind, to cheat or be honest, to hate or to love, to have vengeance or forgive, to ignore God or to acknowledge Him. Well, God brought Adam into existence, forming him from the very soil that we walk on. God formed Adam in a gentle, compassionate, skillful hands that He just molded him together. And then he gave Adam his own breath. It takes life to give life. And I missed that altogether. I don't know how many times I've read this. I thought, God breathed in him life. That's enormous, isn't it? And then God himself prepared a place for Adam to live, a beautiful garden, which he planted. Because that's what Scripture tells us. It's for his comfort and his enjoyment, for his fulfillment. For God satisfied then the deepest longings of Adam's heart and bringing him a life's companion in Eve. But Adam and Eve broke their relationship with God, and it cost them their happiness then and there and their destiny for them and also for all of us. And I know some of you are going to say, well, I'll just look them up when I get to heaven. But, you know, we've all had our own garden. We've all had our own places of where we fell short. Well, the first choice for Eve was to doubt God's word, which was more important to think about, was a lovely stroll in the garden, talking with the Lord every evening. Smelling the beautiful blossoms, the velvet moss on the ground under their feet, or to think about something they didn't have and which she began to crave. Because there came along this magnificent creature. He was very beautiful, very clever, and very sneaky. Also a liar. And you have to remember, he was very smart. Now, there's a lot of questions about the serpent. And serpent doesn't necessarily mean snake. And I got this movie here, which this side of the room won't be able to see, but I think it hits this pretty good. He's got him on a long, slithering type person with hands and feet. And so we know that Satan can take on different disguises or whatever. Be a lion one minute and an angel the next. So he comes along and he simply caught her totally off guard. Did God really say that you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Notice the any tree in the garden. And the interesting thing here is that Eve had a lack of surprise about this serpent talking to her. And that, I think, shows us or tells us that he had talked to both of them probably before. So she wasn't surprised at all. She didn't put up her guard, and Adam, who was with her, seemed to do the same. He seemed to treat him with no surprise. And it reminded me of last year. We were in 2 Samuel 11, and David didn't go to war. He stayed home, and he was bored, and he was walking around on his rooftop and just happened to see a very beautiful woman next door taking a bath. He didn't even need a snake or a serpent. Neither did she. They were suddenly face to face with temptation. But I need to ask us, what temptation is facing you when you are at ease or relaxed or off guard, secure? Watch out. Satan is crafty. He's very smart in his approach. He will attack you where you are the weakest. Eve's knowledge of the trees came secondhand to her, who had taught her about the trees, her husband. So I have to ask the question, is your Bible knowledge secondhand? Or are you digging out the truths yourself? And of course, that's why we have the Bible studies, so that you and I can get in and dig it out and begin to apply it to ourselves. You have to be careful, though. And I also encourage people to stand on it, believe it. Pray it back to God. You should be doing that with your loved ones and your family who don't know the Lord yet. Pray scripture back and begin a little book and collect verses for those loved ones. And of course, when Satan comes to Eve, did God really say this? In other words, what is he doing? He's stirring up doubt. Did he really mean it? Don't you know you can't take him literally? Oh, how many times have we heard that? Especially in regards to creation. Oh, you can't. You're going to believe the Bible, that old book? Yeah. You can't take it literally. So it hasn't changed. His temptation has not changed. So I have to ask you the same question. Who has tried to make you feel ignorant or foolish? Or you're so naive for taking God at his word. You heard that? Whoever it is, or whatever approach that person is using, it's the same temptation that Satan used with Eve, and that was to cause doubt about God's word. It's as old as creation and comes straight from that old serpent, the devil. The choice to be satisfied in God's will, Satan doesn't want that. So Satan focused Eve on the one thing she couldn't have or didn't have. Beware. It's usually the same problem for you and I. It's the one thing you don't have, and he'll keep having you focus on it and focus on it till either you get a divorce or you create havoc or something else. But you have to remember the stats I gave you last year. If you live in a place where you have a roof over your head and you have food in your refrigerator and you have your car, you're among the 10% wealthiest people in the United States, in the world. In the world. Now, if you have a roof over your head and you have food in your refrigerator, too much usually, and you have two cars, you're among the 5% wealthiest in the world. See, we Americans are really spoiled. You know, and we're always looking at something we don't have. And God doesn't want you to keep looking at something you don't have. You know, maybe it's a husband, or maybe it's a better husband, or maybe it's a child that'll shape up. Put it on the altar. We don't stress polygamy here. Anyway, what kind of a tree was it? Was it plain? Was it nothing to look at? Well, I had this old movie called The Bible. You know, you're not going to get too many good facts from the Bible, the movie, anything out of Hollywood, but I'm going to play it just so give you a little flavor of what it might have been like. And if you can't see, I would just encourage you maybe to move over. We tried it on these two screens this morning. We couldn't see. I just wanted to add a little something to it because I don't know what the tree looked like. It may have been beautiful like that. None of us know. But every time I see it, I just want to say, don't do it, don't do it. So it may have been plain. I think the tree of life was very plain. It would not have been attractive. Otherwise, they might have been attracted to it, which wouldn't have been good. Well, whatever it was, Satan used it to test Adam and Eve's obedience to the word of God, or God allowed it to be tested. God's holding out on you something that is lacking in your life. That's the way the enemy always tries to bring it to us, something you don't have. And you need to ask yourself, have I been dissatisfied with God's will? Maybe you felt that about your spouse. Maybe you felt that about a job. Maybe you feel that about a home or a position perhaps you don't have. Doesn't God want me to be happy? Well, God wants you to have joy. Joy is a lot different than being happy. Happy depends on what you have. And joy is on who you are, especially in the Lord. So what's the forbidden fruit in your life? Who are you believing? Whose voice are you listening to? Hear the choice to deny God's goodness. God was holding out on her. Satan, in plain language, said God is holding out on you, for God knows when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Verse 6, it says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. It was pretty simple, wasn't it? She felt that maybe if you touched it, that was a problem. So here she had it in her hand. Touched it. I have a feeling that she probably smelled it and rolled it over and rubbed it, and see, nothing happened. And this forbidden fruit couldn't be that bad. But what temptation in your own life have you tolerated? You thought about it, you touched it, you toyed with it. It's just one more glass of wine, just a little harmless flirtation, just a magazine at the checkout stand. It's just a little date. All we did was have coffee. Watch out. Again, it wasn't very much, was it? The choice to obey God, and she didn't, and she bit into it, and nothing happened. No lightning, no whistleblowing. So she turned to Adam and gave it to Adam. Why didn't he stop her? That was in your lesson, I believe. But you came up with some good stuff. But maybe he was really curious too. That's my guess. Maybe because she had picked it already and nothing had happened, thought it was safe. Well, what sin have you allowed a loved one to talk you into committing? Doesn't take much, does it? Disobedience to God's word always affects someone else. When you sin, you don't sin alone. Satan never gives the downside. He never tells you the bad side of anything. He never tells you the consequences. You have an abortion, and there's a psychological trauma that follows. Or you have sex on a date, sex on another date, and pretty soon all the baths and showers just simply can't make you clean. Satan had told her her eyes would be open like God's. Eve's eyes were opened, but in a grotesque way. She knew good, but also she was separated from it. She knew good and evil in a way God never intended for her to know and to experience it. He didn't want that for us. So when you get into an evil situation or experience an evil situation, know that originally God never wanted us to have that. And what followed was that she was deeply ashamed. That's the consequence of sin. As bad as Adam and Eve were, and the shame that they had that followed, and the human suffering that came after that, the worst consequence of sin is separation from God. And that's what was so painful. They forgot about walking in the cool of the evening with the Lord. So what did they have to do? They went out and got a bunch of fig leaves, which was totally inadequate. God could see right through their fig leaves. See, what is it that went away? It was their moral openness, their innocence, their purity before God. Unlike the movie, it's thought that Adam and Eve were dressed in a cloak of light. Their outfit may have been light, and I think that would be pretty close to the truth, because they were innocent and they lost it and they felt uncovered. I think if the Lord walked in here today in his almightiness, you and I would not only be flat on the floor, but we would so sense so quickly our inadequacy before him in his holiness. It would just burn right through us. That's why we need a new body when we go to heaven, because this one is not adequate. Today we have a lot of fig leaves. All through the centuries there's been fig leaves. We have fig leaves of good works, of religion, church attendance. We have fig leaves of volunteering. Some people are always at church when the doors are open. Or how about making goodies for sick friends? And the question, much better question is, instead of all those good works, we need to ask the question, are you hiding from God? Have you stopped praying? Maybe you never got started. And if you stopped reading your Bible, oh, but I have too busy a schedule. How long have you been hiding? A few days? A month? A year? A lifetime? Can you even remember? And then in verses 8 and 9 it says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden." They are spiritually dead. That's what's happened. That's the first death they experienced. Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" Those are the saddest words in all of Scripture. "Where are you, Adam?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." How sad. Well, maybe God was calling him because he didn't know where they were. No. He's giving them an opportunity to make a confession. God wanted them to confront what they had done so they could get it right and be restored in fellowship with himself. So I have to ask us the question, is God calling you? Does he say to you, "Oh, dear one, I missed you this morning when you used to have your devotions. Oh, dear one, I missed you at church on Sunday. Or I just missed you when we used to have our prayer time." So it's so easy to make the blame game. We think we got something new going by saying, "Well, it's my husband is the way I am. I can't help it. My husband's a creep," or some such thing. But we blame everything. He's just down on the list someplace. We blame poverty. We blame lack of education. Let's go back to poverty a minute. You know, Adam and Eve had a perfect environment, and they blew it. So let's not think that our external stuff we have will make us happy, because it can't. But I watched those guys down in Oakland with their computers and their iPods and all the other stuff that they have and food. And I think, what are you complaining about? Go home and be thankful. So, or lack of education, lack of opportunities, lack of a job, pressures in life. One I heard recently was the federal government. How about immigrants? Those immigrants. We can't get jobs because of the immigrants. Well, how about parents? Boy, that's what all teenagers complain about, isn't it? Or siblings. My brother made me the way I am. So I've got husband way down here. Husband, co-workers, the boss, nationality, the neighbor's dog. How about that? The weather. But you know, there's some truth in the weather, because when a storm's coming in, you should have aches and pains if you have arthritis. You should feel it. See, so my crankiness isn't the weather. Anyway, the consequences of Adam's sin are easily seen around us even to today in our situations. Maybe you're suffering today and you can link it back to Adam's sin. Maybe you've worked hard to maintain your physical health. You've exercised. You've been eating right. And you had good habits, only to be hindered by age and painful limitations it brings. It's just so annoying to have your body wear out. Maybe you've poured your whole life into your family and you've watched them disintegrate into divorce and despair. Maybe you've worked endlessly to further your education only to have the latest technology push you out of a job. You put it into everything and all you've had back were thorns and thistles. I tell you, life is hard work and we are under the spell of death because first we're separated from God. And what did God have to do? He had to take two animals, probably two sheep, and he showed them how to cut the throat, collect the blood, and pour it out as unto an offering as unto the Lord. And then how to tan those skins and make clothing or covering for themselves. It would have been very traumatic because that would be their first experience with death. And since animals were very free in that time, they had no fear of man, any of them, tigers, lions, whatever, had no fear of man. It would have been almost like killing two friends. Sin is very, very expensive, and you and I need to come to grips with it. The problem is we see an awful lot of stuff on TV, and we say, well, I'm not as bad as that. Or we see these people shooting or raping in these groups that are forming around the country, and we say, well, I'm not as bad as that. But see, are we as what God would have us be? Are we becoming more like him? Are we using our circumstances, whether it's a loss of a job or a husband that's difficult to live with or children that have wandered away? God is using those things to get us on our knees and to pray to him and to mature in our own walk. And that's what he calls us to do, not just to say, well, I'm not as bad as. When we compare ourselves with ourselves, the Lord says that we are not wise. Well, we're having another whole lesson. I'm sure you're very excited about that. On chapter 3, it's such an important one because this is the foundation of why we're all a mess. And but please realize that how gentle God was with Adam and Eve. Very gentle. He came looking for them. So you might feel like, you know, I've got something in my life I don't want anybody to know about. God knows all about it, and he'll be very gentle with you. He wants you to come to him to get rid of that burden you've been carrying around on your back and ask God to forgive you and cleanse you and to restore you. God is in the business of reconciliation and restoration. He loves us. He loved Adam and Eve even after they sinned. Keep that in your mind and remember that it's a beautiful thing. Our Savior is an amazing, amazing God. The more I study about him, the more amazed I am. Just think of it. We're going to be in heaven with him someday. At least I hope you are. Father, we thank you for your precious word that gives us so much insight and so much wisdom. Lord, thank you that you didn't kick Adam and Eve out of the garden and say, that's it, they're done. But that you had a way of restoring them to fellowship, restoring them into your presence. And you knew right before you even created them that they would fall. And Lord, you know, because you walked on this earth, you know how difficult it is for us to be loving and kind. We make bad choices every day, Lord. Help us by the power of your Spirit to do well. And Lord, I pray for each of these ladies that as Thanksgiving comes, that they would be able to make a list of things that they're thankful for and to give that back to you in praise. Even the hard things, the things that hurt us so deeply, that we'd be able to put those on your altar and say, thank you, Lord. You have a purpose in it, and I accept that purpose. And I love you today for what you're going to do through it. Lord, nothing is accidental. All of it has got purpose and plan behind it. Bless these ladies, especially as we go into the Thanksgiving season, Lord, and may we return here the following week with new thoughts about chapter 3. Teach us, Lord, where we want to learn what your word has to say. And I ask that most of all in Jesus' name. Amen.